Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football, and what a time to be talking some Browns football here on WEOL. It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by our friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. As we bring in longtime sportscaster John Telegent and JT, as we sit and record here on a Wednesday, you had a hilarious tweet earlier this morning about your trip to the dry cleaners, if I'm not mistaken, as it was insinuated that you may have been the bad luck charm all this time until you called it quits.
Yeah, he was, we always have some good Browns talk when I go in, and certainly he's been a long-suffering fan, especially in the last 20, 24 years with very few potent seasons for them. And we were just joking along, and he said, how about the Browns? He said, they're really fun to watch. And then he said, I'm thinking, the dry cleaner says, I'm thinking you may be retired too soon. You're missing out on all this fun, or maybe you were the jinx all along. And I said, yeah, that's probably the case. Never minding that, of the last 24 years, there were 21 seasons where you could say some people could have been jinxes of particular seasons. But it's fun to watch these guys. And Browns fans have suffered for so long on all of those years. They've been right there with me, although obviously I was reporting on the team. You want to see them do well, and it's so great to see they've got somewhat of that magic touch this year, the way they did in some of the other magical seasons they've had over the years.
Well, one of those issues in the past two decades, if not more, has been the quarterback position, obviously. I mean, we know the jokes and the jersey with the names on the back and all that good stuff. Well, that hasn't been exactly as problematic in recent weeks, thanks to Super Joe Flacco, who wasn't his sharpest in that Chicago game, right? Had the interceptions, the pick six, all that stuff. But, man, still throwing absolute dimes at the end of that ball game. The man just doesn't seem to lose confidence.
No, he was really impressive in that fourth quarter. And I think, if you want to throw barbs on how difficult things were early in that game, he did throw three picks. I would say two of those, you could have possibly said that, maybe the receiver went the wrong way or knocked off the receiver. His final interception, that clearly was a ball that he threw a bit late to Njoku on the goal line, and that was picked off. But in that fourth quarter, 11 of 13, 212, one touchdown, a rating of 144.4. Those 212 yards, Rocco, that's the most that a Cleveland Browns quarterback has had in 45 years in the second half of a football game. And it goes back 45 years, so I'm guessing it's 78, 79, and that's Brian Sipe, obviously. He has 101 regular season wins, and you could also I want to call him like Joe Flatline, because he that's how he appears out on the field. There is some emotion there, but he's so cool, and Joe Cool's already been taken up by the guy down in Cincinnati. So Joe Flatline has just been remarkable with that arm talent he has and the ability to just be calm in the pocket, shrug off defenders, move to his left. How about the one play where, Kareem Hunt to him and then back to Kareem Hunt? I thought that was a pretty devilish call late in the game, and it worked for him as well. So I love what I have seen from Joe Flacco, and in these three games, he's given Browns fans something special on each occasion that they go and say, wow, that's a professional quarterback that can make those types of throws. And it's been fun to watch.
And you mentioned another guy that I want to ask you about, and I know we talked about him a good chunk last week, but we got to bring him up again. David Njoku, I mean, just quickly becoming one of the favorite targets of Joe Flacco, if not the favorite target of, well, Joe Flatline, as you called him. I got to do you got to do you right there. Is there something different in Njoku's game that you've noticed this year or something like that? Or is it just a matter of, hey, he's catching the stinking football now, and they're finding a way to get him that ball?
Yeah, they are finding a way to get the football to him. There is a great connection, it seems, with the way this scheme is right now with Joe Flatline as your quarterback. And he is finding Njoku in opportune spots. He's finding Amari Cooper. He's finding Moore. He got to the youngster Tillman as well. But what we've seen from Njoku has been really impressive, because he also does some of that dirty work as well. He does the blocking. And in his past couple of games, he's got three touchdowns and roughly 100 yards receiving in each. And you could look at a lot of those yards that he is accumulating the last couple of games have been those proverbial yak yards, yards after contact yards, after the catch, if you will, including the last one on that last drive that took them deep into the territory of the Bears, where they could play with timeouts and the clock and adjusting the football to the spot where they wanted it for Dustin Hopkins to win the game.
And defensively, JT, how about JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah? You know, you sent me some stats about his monster game, obviously, but man, just another guy that, you know, hasn't come out of nowhere. We certainly know what he's capable of, or we've known what he's, you know, been capable of, but Now he's really starting to, you know, get that production for this defense.
Well, I think a couple of things have come into play here, Rocco. First of all, he's been healthy. He hasn't missed stretches of games like in the past couple of years. And then, of course, he has a steadying influence and a great defensive coordinator in Jim Schwartz, who knows how to utilize him. And oftentimes I use that Swiss Army knife, you know, reference to special players that can do so many different things, like you think of Christian McCaffrey over there in San Francisco and players of that ilk. Debo Samuel can be that type of a player. Well, I think JOK is in that mold, because get a look at this, and I think I want to give a shout-out to our buddy Zach Jackson, who did the math on this. This past game alone, he was on the defensive line 11 snaps, in the box 39. He was a safety for 4. He was in the slot covering someone 6 times, and he was out on the corner as a proverbial cornerback or taking outside responsibilities 2 times. That shows you a guy that has a tremendous amount, a wide range of talents, explosiveness, quickness, the ability to close fast like he did on a very decisive sack in that game. He had 6 solo tackles, 2 tackles for loss. He had a sack, he had a pick, and he had 2 pass defenses. This isn't this game alone. So really a lot of fun to watch him play. And I think the play that he made, that sack with about 6:48 to go, it gave me hope that they were still, you know, there was still a chance for those guys to come back and to make things square, and then to pick up a touchdown or pick up that field goal to win the game. And JOK made plays all over the football field. So you really want to credit him for the great play he's had recently.
You listed all those stats. I think you forgot in a partridge in a pear tree at the end of all that, too. As, again, we're talking Browns football this morning with John Telich. It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. You know, not a whole lot for the Kevin Stefanski haters, so to speak, talk about here in recent weeks. You've even started to see, at least, you know, from the Browns Twitter or Browns X section of things, right, on that social media platform, some Coach of the Year murmurings. Is that something we could maybe see, depending on how these final few weeks play out for Kevin?
I really do think that is a possibility, and there's starting to be more and more folks around the league. I remember about 5 weeks ago, Rich Eisen, NFL Network, bringing that up, and that was amidst all the stuff that was going on with the team, where, you know, fans were upset with what he did at the end of the Seattle game, and everybody looking for every excuse to have this guy fired. I mean, let's look at it right now. There are 8 teams in the NFL right now as we speak with 9 or more wins. 7 of those teams have had the same quarterback the whole way. Guess which team has not? Obviously, it's Kevin and his Cleveland Browns. He's had 4 different quarterbacks. He has had 3 comebacks from double-digit deficits with 3 different quarterbacks this year. He has his team 7-1 at home, and he's 6-2 in games decided by less than a touchdown. Now, a lot of folks will say, lucky here, lucky there. I think if you're a good coach, you're in a position late in a game to close things out and to add more to the lore of being Cardiac Kids Part 2. The guy that's leading the way should get a lot of that credit, and that's what Kevin has been able to do. And interestingly enough, around the league, there's obviously very, very many sites that are out there on the internets and the Googles, if you will, Rocco, that tout the odds for a guy to win something, because we're in the betting era of sports and its coverage. There are 6 guys that one of these sites put with better odds to win Coach of the Year than Kevin Stefanski. And I think if you really look down deep into what's been going on, the disadvantages he's been hit with all those injuries, I think if you look at all things, he has to be in the top 2 or 3. You know, I'm not sitting here saying absolutely give him the award per se, but he has to be very, very high in that discussion. And he's had the 4th toughest schedule as well. So for him to do what he has done with all the injuries, with a schedule that's touted as being one of the top most difficult schedules in football, and for them to be sitting here at 9-5, it's pretty doggone remarkable, and certainly has made for a very fun fall of 2023.
And my goodness, any coach, really. I mean, you name him, Bill Belichick. I mean, there's flaws, right? There's flaws with any head coach. They make their mistakes throughout the course of an NFL season. So I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, there have been blemishes this year for Kevin Stefanski, but certainly not enough to keep him out of the conversation for Coach of the Year. I mean, again, you're spot on. All the things he's been dealt with this year, just a fantastic job that he's been able to do. So another team on the rise this year, the Houston Texans. I mean, not taking the league by storm by any means, I don't know how many people would have had them at 8-6 at this juncture. C.J. Stroud, at the time that we're talking, you know, quote, not likely to play from what we're seeing reports-wise with the concussion protocol. So what do we expect on this road trip down to Houston this weekend?
Well, I think the Browns defense has an opportunity to show how well they can play away from home. They have a chance going up against former Brown, who it's very ironic in Case Keenum, that when he was here as a highly paid backup, they rarely used him. And then now, you know, D'Amico Ryans and the gang down there in Houston will be happy to have a veteran in there in place of C.J. Stroud if it comes to the point on Sunday where he's deemed not able to go. So, you know, I think the Browns will play one of their better games defensively on the road. It's been kind of a little Achilles heel for them. I expect them to play very well as far as that is concerned, but a bit of concern with how they're going to piece things together with the offensive line, as it was highly noted during the game. They were down to just a Teller as their only starting guy on the offensive line after, in the late first quarter, Joel Bitonio went out with a bad back. Now, Joel, on Tuesday, when he was at a event for a charity for Christmas, he said his back was feeling better to some of the reporters that were covering that event. So we'll see how the week goes as far as that is concerned. But you even had at one point Nick Harris, who's been the backup to Posick, who's been playing as the you know, the center for the Browns, he had to go out of the game for a while as well. So you really only did have Mr. Teller as your lone starting offensive back. So it's going to be a challenge, but obviously a very tepid environment down there in terms of the weather, because they're in that building where you know, things should be okay weather-wise, obviously, where they can control the climate down there. So it's going to be fun to see what they could do. See what they do with the great job of getting off the map that they did, being down by 10 points, entering the fourth quarter, and then having that double-digit comeback this past Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how they play on Sunday to keep this thing going. And, you know, we were talking a few weeks ago, 10 wins might, you know, get you in the playoffs. You're obviously only one win away from 10 with three games to go. They are sitting in a real good position with the way the remainder of their schedule goes, although that one down in Cincinnati, and kudos to the Bengals for what they did on Saturday, coming back in that game. That will be a tough one at the end of the year, but that's 2 weeks away.
Yeah, certainly. And we'll save everybody the headache in terms of going through the, you know, can the Browns clinch this week? Because they can. There's just about, you know, 35 million things that need to happen in order for that to occur. So
exactly.
We'll revisit that down the line for sure, like you said. JT, quickly before I let you go, I know you sent some high school football stuff at the bottom of our pre-segment notes here. Some signings from for some local area kids. Obviously, I'll kind of spoil two of them for you. Ja'Corian Caffey and Luke Hamilton, both from Avon. Hamilton is going to Michigan, and Mr. Caffey will be taking his talents to the southern part of Ohio to play ball for the Bearcats of Cincinnati. But some other signings certainly of note as well, JT.
Well, you got to give St. Ed's a lot of credit. Of course, the three-time repeating champions of Division I in football. You have the twins. The Armstrong twins are both going to Ohio State. They will make that official today. And then also they have one of their other outstanding St. Ed's offensive linemen is going to join Luke Hamilton of Avon at the Michigan Wolverines, as now there's more and more rumors swirling about the future of the head coach down in Ann Arbor. And a big shout-out to Demarion Witten. Talk about Swiss Army knives on the high school level. I've always thought this kid could play so many different positions. He plays for Glenville. He's a tight end recruit and also a wide receiver recruit for the Ohio State University. He will be signing today, as well his teammate Bryce West. Both will be going to Columbus. But last night in the U.S. Army bowl game, that's the all-star game for high school football players. There's two or three that happen each year. He was the MVP of the game with a couple of touchdowns. Now, I seem to recall, Rocco, many years ago, Teddy Ginn Jr. may have been the MVP of the same game back in his time. And for Demarion to do this, future is super bright for that young Glenville Tarbledder heading down to Columbus. So congratulations to him. So much talent at Glenville for Coach Ted Ginn.
Wait, Teddy Ginn Jr., there's a name you haven't heard in a little while. You want to talk about speed back in the day. I mean, holy moly, that man could fly up and down a football field, no question. So there's some high school news for you this week. And again, Browns taking on the Houston Texans this weekend. That'll be a 1 o'clock game Sunday. I don't want to miss that. Browns looking to get to 10 wins. Wow, who would have thought that? So JT, thank you for the time as always, my friend. And hey, have a very Merry Christmas, as we won't be speaking again until after the holiday. But again, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Enjoy the Brownies this weekend, and we'll break it all down next time.
I look forward to it. Enjoy the football this weekend, and even enjoy the Christmas night clash between the Ravens and San Francisco, two of the top two teams in football, and know that your Cleveland Browns have beaten both of those teams this year. That's a good way to close out the segment.
Yes, sir, it is. All righty, JT, take care, my friend.